The four stages of narcissistic abuse. Narcissism in the workplace. Following on from my previous article, Is My Boss or Coworker a Narcissist? And in celebration of the release of the second episode in my mini-series Narcissism in the Workplace, today I'm delving a bit deeper into the topic of narcissistic abuse. Note, while I will focus on work-based relationships in this article, the same pattern of abuse can also be used to describe toxic personal relationships as well as cultic situations. The abuse cycle. There is a very distinct cycle that all narcissists and people with other antisocial personality traits and disorders follow, from which they rarely deviate. The story that I hear from clients who've experienced narcissistic abuse is always a variation on the following. They thought I was great at first, I could do no wrong, I considered us to be great friends, we did so much together and I shared so much stuff that I've never told anyone before, I felt so valued and safe. However, after a while they started to pick holes in everything I did and now I can't seem to do anything right. They undermine me in public and have begun to turn other people against me. Now they can't even bring themselves to look at me. They ignore me, won't return my calls or emails, even when I'm desperate for an answer on something important. It's got to the point that I keep second guessing myself. My self-confidence and self-esteem are so low that I've got no option but to leave. I need a job with less pressure. It's clear I can't operate at this level. I feel so useless. Maybe I was never any good at my job, but nobody told me or I never noticed. I cannot begin to tell you how often I've heard this story. It demonstrates the classic narcissistic cycle of abuse. The four stages of narcissistic abuse. It's important to note that the time each stage takes to complete varies from weeks to months and in rare cases, years. Number one, idealization. Often referred to as love bombing. During this stage, you can do no wrong. You may hear, I can't believe how in tune we are. We're so alike. I'm so glad we can work so well together. We're so aligned. The abuser will include you in everything initially. They may even overshare and prompt you to do the same. This is part of the con. They want to build your trust quickly and to get you to let your guard down. It's when you believe you can trust this person implicitly that you may divulge things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. This intelligence is just what the narcissist wants. It will undoubtedly get noted and used against you at some later date. Their attention may feel a bit overwhelming or even disingenuous during this time. Still, you go along with it because it feels good to be relied on and to be part of the inner group, especially if you haven't had that kind of attention before. You feel so valued that you ignore the small red flags or the gentle nudge from your intuition telling you that something's wrong. After all, you finally found the boss or coworker that gets you, and the possibilities seem endless. However, it doesn't last. Idealization or love bombing is something to be aware of whenever you meet anyone new, no matter the circumstances. If a person bestows overwhelming positive attention on you from the outset, that's a red flag. Normal, in inverted commas, people don't do that. Take your time in getting to know someone professionally or personally. Beware of letting your guard down and sharing personal information too early. Note, if it doesn't feel right, it isn't. Number two, devaluation. You'll notice a change in their behavior after a while, and that time varies from person to person. It may be very subtle at first. For example, the narcissist may say or do one small thing that doesn't seem like a big deal, but leaves you wondering, oh, what was all that about? You will feel confused and unsettled, wondering what you could have done to provoke such a weird, out-of-character response. You will find that these small things become more frequent, but often they don't seem big enough to challenge, and so you let them go, somehow convincing yourself that it's just your imagination. However, if you do decide to speak up, the narcissist will likely dismiss your concerns by saying something like, oh, you're too sensitive, That's just my sense of humor. You need to lighten up. I didn't mean anything by it. Stop being so sensitive. This dismissal is known as gaslighting. It's an effective tool that abusers use to control the situation and keep you confused. When they do this, they expertly move the attention away from themselves and back onto you. Narcissists avoid accountability at all costs. Devaluation is also when the narcissist brings other people into the mix. They may ridicule you in front of others and talk about you behind your back. Colleagues may start to treat you differently, and in extreme cases, you may get ostracized from the group as the narcissist begins to use your colleagues to increase their abuse. The technical term for people who do the narcissist bidding is flying monkeys. After a while, you will undoubtedly become more unhappy and uncertain about your choices, ideas, and abilities. As a result, you may stop speaking up for fear of being ridiculed or shot down. It's important to note that the narcissist is now showing their true colours. In reality, they couldn't be further from the kind, inclusive, supportive person they presented themselves to be initially. However, if they showed you who they were right from the start of the relationship, they would not get away with it. So instead, they wear you down covertly, usually in a passive-aggressive way, employing manipulative and underhand tactics. Typically, when I press clients who suffered at the hands of a narcissist, they'll be able to recollect one seemingly small thing that triggered the behavior change, something that they said or did at the time that seemed so inconsequential that they thought nothing of it. However, in retrospect, they can see that the narcissist took it badly. That's because deep down, narcissists have extremely low self-esteem and will often take the smallest perceived slight as a personal attack and will come out fighting. Number three, the discard. Next comes the discard stage. A typical indicator that this phase has begun is when you discover that you're getting excluded from meetings, emails, and other important communications that you need to be part of to do your job effectively. The abuser will deliberately keep you in the dark, making it difficult, if not impossible, for you to perform your duties. When it gets to this point, the narcissist has likely worn you down so much so that you can no longer operate at your best. You may even start to underperform because your confidence and self-esteem are so low that you can no longer rely on your abilities, second-guessing everything you do. As a result, you find it hard to contribute effectively and feel in a constantly low mood. You may also exhibit signs of anxiety and depression, making finding joy in anything inside or outside work difficult. Narcissism is insidious. It affects every part of a victim's life. You are now no longer of any use to the narcissist. They have used and abused you to a point where it's no longer fun for them, and they're no longer getting the same amount of narcissistic fuel from you. Usually at this point, the narcissist sets your exit from the team or even the business in motion. Alternatively, it may have got so bad that you feel you have no other alternative but to leave. The discard phase is typically when people come to me for career support. They'll tell me that they need to find a job with less stress or want to take a step down. That's when alarm bells ring for me. These competent people may have had 10, 20, 30, or even 40 years working without ever having doubted their abilities or been spoken to about their alleged underperformance previously. It's a huge red flag to prompt me to dig deeper. Number four, the Hoover. The Hoover phase happens when you become a threat to the narcissist or they see you getting stronger. In either case, their perceived loss of control over you and the situation prompts them to hoover you back in. Remember what I said in the previous article? One of the main traits of a narcissist is the need for absolute control. From a threat perspective, this usually takes the form of you threatening or telling somebody in authority about their behavior, which will make them look bad. They simply cannot have that. It may also happen if you resign, they will likely go into damage control mode. From a strength perspective, if they perceive a shift in your demeanor, in other words, you start to understand what's going on and put in place solid boundaries, they will see that as a loss of control. So they will need to nip that in the bud. In personal relationships, this phase occurs when the abuser has left, usually because they've found a new source of narcissistic supply, but it hasn't worked out. Alternatively, the victim might leave the abuser. In either case, the abuser needs to hoover the victim back in to meet their narcissistic supply needs. Again, it's about the abuser having power and control over the victim and proving that they can get them back whenever they want. The hoover phase typically shifts back into the love bombing phase and the narcissistic cycle begins again. What next? If you think this post would be helpful to others, please consider forwarding it. It takes seconds and assists me in getting this free content in front of more people. Plus, you never know who you may be helping with that small act of kindness. If you've never considered coaching or would like to hear more about my unique approach, please contact me at joe@joebanks.net for a complimentary 15-minute discovery call. Finally, if you haven't subscribed to receive my weekly newsletter, click the newsletter tab at the top. And if you want to watch the extended version of this article, I'll leave the link below. You can go hop over to YouTube and watch it over there. As always, thank you so much for your continued support.